Good morning. I told my wife, wow, I need that song right now. No matter how many times I come up here, it never fails. I always feel a little nervous, but it's all good. The Barnes are not here today, and you guys got me, so. Let me get my notes together. Get my timer running. I already lost 1 minute, so. But my name is, my wife told me, don't forget to say your name. I always forget to say, because, you know, we got visitors, right? And we got people on Zoom. You know, people may know you, they don't know you, but my name is Denton, last name Graham. My awesome wife, well, she told me not to use the word awesome anymore. I'm learning a lot from my wife. She said that word is reserved for God. So my beautiful wife over there, Jacqueline, better known as Lynn. And like I said, the Barnes are not here. Welcome to the Queen's Ministry of the New York City Church of Christ. And we want to welcome you, not just those who are here, but also those who are on Zoom. Give me 1 minute. This monitor is off. Nothing's on yet. Sorry. Yeah, so let me pray first. Great God in heaven, Father, like the song says, be with me. I pray that you be with me in this time of sharing the words that come from your scriptures, the words that come from your Bible, from your prophets. I pray, God, that I can clearly articulate what in your word, Father, and the experience that I see here on earth, Father. I pray, God, that you open not just my heart and my mind, but everyone here and everyone on Zoom, God. Pray, God, that you be with us as we study your word and get a clear understanding, Father, your scriptures. We love you, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, today's message is about, actually, we're continuing Psalm 119, and we're up to Psalm 113, and I'm going to do 113 to 128. So, Muriel, you can put up the Psalm slide. Today's message is about double-minded. And, you know, when Sean gave me an option of, well, first I had to do 129, and I started, and I said, oh, man, this is nice. I like this. And then Sean said, oh, bro, I need you to do 113. I'm like, what? I was like, double-minded? What is that? But I learned a lot. In Psalm 119, verse 13, it says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the command of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hope be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decree. You reject all who strays from your decree. For their delusion come from nothing. Their delusion comes to nothing. All the wicked on the earth are discarded like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your law. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decree. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, Lord. Your law is being broken because I love your command more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right. I hate every wrong path. That's some deep stuff, especially when they use the word hate. The psalmist acknowledged God is his God, and he is God's servant. In 113, the psalmist say he hate double-minded people. Double-minded people, uncertain or uncommitted people. People who cannot make up their mind between good and evil. People who know God, but are not fully committed to worshiping or worship and serve him only. They want both God and they want the world as well. They want the benefit of true relationship and they want their sin too. People with divided loyalty. You can't serve two masters. In 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:5 first, it says, they have a form of godliness, but denying its powers. So you either believe or not. You know, not like Ripley's Believe It or Not. They can be skeptical people, half-hearted. They said they're procrastinators. That I was like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm a procrastinator. But what they're talking about is a half-hearted or a double-minded person, they tend to have a fear of making decisions. They don't want to mess up. The stars have to line up. They tend to lack faith in themselves and their decision. They often change their mind after they make their decisions. You know, we could all be double-minded at some point, as I just read. Let's see what James say about double-minded people. In James 1:5, it goes to verse 8, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubt is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unsuitable in all they do. You know, James also go on in James 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hand, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You know, a double-minded person may be full of doubt, according to James. A double-minded person or double-mindedness is pretty much, you know, it's a heart issue. They seem to drift from God instead of seeking a relationship with God. You know, Lot's wife may have been double-minded. She looked back, you know, make you wonder about the relationships they had where they were. You know, they seem to love living in that corrupt city. You know, the angels had to drag them out. Peter may have been double-minded at some point. You know, Jesus told him, "You do not have in mind the concern of God, but merely human concerns." And we know Judas was double-minded. We have all been double-minded at some point in our lives and can become double-minded. The psalmist said, "But I love your law." How would he know he loved God's law? How would you know? Because he applied it and he obeyed it and it worked in his life. It brought him joy and fulfillment. The point is, if you love God's word, it will help you not to become double-minded. In verse 114, it says, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." God is his hiding place, his refuge, his shield, his protector. And he put his hope in God's words. You know, Adam and Eve, they ran from God. They had their own hiding place, which was nowhere. Do we seek refuge and comfort in God's words or in people's opinion? Today, everybody got an opinion. Everybody got an answer. You can go on Facebook and YouTube and read until God comes. I mean, Uriel and I and Ed was talking about that today. There's so much content, you don't know who to believe. You know, the psalmist said, you know, he talked about hope. Hope means to wait, be patient. That requires trust. You take the train every day, right? And you trust that the train is gonna come, but you hope that it ain't gonna be late, right? Sometimes instead of taking refuge and allowing God to protect us, we go and handle our own business our own way. He put his hope in God's word. Why? Because the creator of the world and everything in it gives us hope in the scriptures. Why would you go somewhere else? 2 Peter 2 says, his divine powers has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Right? The Bible can keep us from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. In verse 115, it says, "Always away from me, you evildoer, that I may keep the command of my God." It's hard to keep God's command when you're around evildoers. Who is the evildoer? We're all evildoers, right? You know, bad company, corrupt character. You're trying to change, they're trying to change you. Right? You may want to say, you know, "I become all things to all men because I want to win some." That's fine, but you better be careful, because the scripture says, be careful, you may be tempted. You know, I often have to be mindful when I'm around certain people, not wanting to offend them or to make them feel uncomfortable, right? But I could be drawn in to their folly. And sometimes it could be family members. You can have evildoers on your job, at home. Someone that does not have godliness in mind. We need to treat some social media platforms called organizations as evildoers. Misleading, promoting fear, division, hatred. We need to say, away from me. Away from me, whatever tries to lead me away from God. You know, we have evildoers in church, like I said. You know, Jesus said, I will tell you. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So we have to be careful. You become an evildoer very quickly when you're double-minded. In verse 116 to 117, it says, sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. A double-minded person may not ask that or may not say that. They won't ask for help, confident in their pride or themselves. They won't trust anyone. What are God's promises? God's promises are good. Don't we sing that song sometime? Here's a promise he made to not just the Israelites, but he made to us too in Jeremiah 33:14. The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Didn't God keep that promise? We've got Jesus, right? You know, the Bible is full of God's promise. I bought this little book here to show you. God's promise, 333 pages. That's a lot of promise. Listen, I'd rather go with God's promise than somebody else's promise. God's promises are good and true. They will sustain you. We know that Jesus is the church, the husband, right? And we are the bride. Jesus promises bride many things. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And many more promises. What promise have you made? You promise to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor, his people. Have you kept that promise? You said Jesus is Lord of my life. How's that going? Have you doubled back? Are you becoming double-minded? Because it's very easy for me to, you know, get caught up in the world and become double-minded. In verse 118, it says, you reject all who stray from your decree, for their delusion come to nothing. Delusion. Double-minded people can be delusional. Their delusion is they are in control. I have the answer. God can't help me in my situation. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody knows. This type of thinking causes you to stray from God. Think of decisions that you have made and will make that disagrees with God's words. Emotional decision, decisions made as a result of feelings. We can say we are Christians or churchgoers, but our heart can stray from God, his decrees, his laws, his command, his precepts. They don't convict us anymore. Jesus talked about the salt losing its saltiness, right? It becomes useless, rejected. A double-minded person lacks sound judgment because they reject sound doctrine. So, what should our focus be? Why would God go through all this trouble over hundreds of years, having different people write the Bible, die for the Bible, and we just let it sit on a shelf? God's word is here to protect us from ourselves. We can't look at God's command as an unnecessary rule. Uriel, put up that slide for me. I got a little cartoon for you. That's how we think sometimes. I hate being confined with this fence. I'm jumping over it. I'm doing my own thing. Somebody's trying to tell you, hey, bro, listen, man, that's not the right way to go. Wait, it's not a fence. Put up the other one. See what I'm saying? You could put up the full slide. Whoever keeps command keeps your life, but whoever shows contempt to their ways will die. You know, I saw a car with an ad the other day. It says, live without boundaries. That's the way I feel when I'm driving with some of these crazy people. I'm serious. It's like they have no boundaries. They're like in and out of traffic, cutting you off. And I'm like, you know, I know we got a guide rail, but you're going to go over that. It's just crazy. Everyone wants to be in control of their own destinies. God's laws are to protect us, just as traffic laws are to protect the pedestrian, the driver, and the passenger. We have to watch our life and our doctrine because it protects us, not only us, but also our hearers. Verse 119 says, all the wicked of the earth, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. Now, dross is an impurity that rises to the top, you know, when they're refining precious metal. Dross is then scraped off or scraped away and discarded, leaving the pure metal. Sin is very much like dross. Dross take away from the shine, the glory of the metal. That's why they get it out of there. It makes the metal dull. Dross is worthless, like our sin is worthless. It has no value. Dross is damaging to the metal, so sin is damaging to our soul. We are being refined every day. The more we resist being refined, the duller your shine, because you refuse to allow the dross or the sin to be exposed and removed. Dross is all over you, making you dull. In difficult conversations, which none of us like to have, I hate them. They're just like, you know, the anxiety. You know, in conflict, disagreement, discipling, trials, hardship, we are being refined by God when we allow His word to override our emotions and our pride. And it is not easy. You know, my wife called me prideful this morning, and you know, she's right. But it's hard for your emotions, because your emotions is just there. You don't control it. Like, you don't control your thinking. What are you going to do? Stop thinking that. That's just your emotion. But the more we get into the Bible and we get refined, those emotions and those thoughts are controlled. Not necessarily controlled, but you deal with the heart. What comes out of the heart comes out of the mouth. Right? So, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'm like, I don't have time to think about all that. That's even hard to remember. I literally paste that on my refrigerator. Because you live with two kids and you got a wife, there's a lot of conversations, a lot of disagreement. You know, people like different things, and who put that there, and who drank my thing, and you know. So I got to think about the good things, you know. I remember when you were a beautiful little 10-pound baby. That's all I can come up with. I don't want to sound like a double-minded person. I don't want to think double-minded. Therefore, I have to love and delight in God's statutes. God's word judges the thought and the attitudes of my heart. It penetrates deeper than I could even see. Sometimes I don't even know what's in there. A double-minded person either deal with their dross or God would deal with it. From verse 120 to 124, it says, my flesh trembles in fear. I stand in awe of your law. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love, and teach me your decree. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That you got to keep in mind. If you don't fear God, you're on your own. You're just out there. Because you know what? You cannot wake up tomorrow. You can wake up in the hospital tomorrow. You know, we got to fear God, you know, but we also got to hold on to His promises. No matter what stage of life that you're in, no matter where you are in life today, God's promises are still good. No matter what, no matter how you feel, no matter what's happening to you, God's promise is still good, and you got to hold on to them. Verse 125 says, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. If you are serving somebody, don't you want to know the need? How do you serve God? You don't know what God wants you to serve Him for. We got to get into the Bible. You don't know what's required. What is expected of you? Sometimes we don't understand what's right and what's wrong in this world full of opinions and confusion. There's lots of confusion when it comes to religion. You know, Paul said in Romans 12:2, he says, do not be conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, his good and pleasing and perfect will. God's will is in his word. The psalmist reminds God that I'm your servant, not that God need to be reminded. Give me what I need to understand what you are telling me. Do we talk to God? Double-minded people are insecure in their servanthood. You can't serve two masters. You gotta hate one and love the other. 127 to 128 says, because I love your command more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. Now, pure gold means it's been refined, the best quality. It's been in the fire. For us, it's called perseverance. It's called patience. It's called hope. I love your command more than what? I love your command more than reality shows. I love your command more than Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. What do you love more than God's words? Because where do you spend your time? Why do we hate something? You know, he's talked about hate, right? I hate every wrong path. Why do you hate something? Because sometimes we have a problem with it. We know it's not good for us, or it could be against us. That's why we hate it. How does the psalmist know that it's the wrong path? How do you know? See, he said, I consider all God's precepts, and he considered it from studying them. He knows the right path. He's convicted, or his conviction come from knowing God's precepts. Romans 7:7 says, what shall I say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was if it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveted really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. How would we know what's right and what's wrong? Because a double-minded person loves both the world and God, it's hard for them to stay on the straight and narrow path. The psalmist says he hates wrong paths. We need to hate sin in order to avoid being double-minded. So, in closing, ask yourself today, how much of a double-minded person am I? I gotta ask myself when I read this. And you may not think you're double-minded. What does God's law, God's statutes, command, or decrees say about me? That's where the answer is. You can't judge by looking at another person. Oh, I'm not like that guy. Pharisees did that, and Jesus is like, no, no, no. Because in John 12:48 says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my word. That very word that I have spoken will condemn them in the last days. We have in this world, in this time, the Bible at our fingertips. We have it on our tablets, on our phones. We can listen to it. People back then, they didn't have that access, but we today take it for granted. It's the most important book ever written. It's the book of life, the word that became flesh. The word itself is eternal. When this world is gone, only God's word will survive. According to Matthew 28:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's why we need to hold on to it. The psalmist not only loved God's command, he considered it right, not crooked, or like Derek would say, twisted. Because he knows what's right, he hates every wrong path. Don't you hate when people go down the wrong path and you try to help them? We may say what's wrong with them, double-minded. They know the good they ought to do. Instead, they do the opposite. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith comes from hearing the word. The psalmist said he considered the word. Paul said, I examined the word. Or he told us to examine the word. Jesus is the word. If you feel you can be double-minded, it's okay. We have all been double-minded at times and in different situations. The goal is to add to your knowledge and your faith in increasing measures so that it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, full of dross. The last thing I have to say is keep this in mind. I love this scripture. I always got to think about it. In Psalm 119:11 said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not what? That I may not sin against you. There's no guarantee that you won't sin, but God's promises are guaranteed. All right? Okay. Thank you for all that. I think I went over. Bye. At this time, we're going to have our communion. If you don't have a communion cup, raise your hand, and ushers will go around and hand you one. I'm going to read a quick scripture. It says in 1 Peter 1:3-7, it says, praise be to God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded. We heard that earlier. Shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Through now, for a little while, you may have to suffer, had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refining by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, Father, thank you, God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy, God. I got to add your promises to that. Thank you, God, for we know your promises are good. Your promises will last past us, Father. We help us to look forward to those promises, God. Look forward to Jesus coming back. You have already filled one of your promises to send Jesus to redeem us from our sinful nature. Help us, God, to keep our promise to you when we said Jesus is Lord. God, we love you. Help us to love your word. Help us to eat it, Father. Help us to keep it in our hearts so we may not sin against you, God. And when we do, we know that Jesus' blood, you promise, will wash it away our sins, God. Be with us at this time as we take communion, as we represent your blood. And we just pray, God, that you help us to remember the sacrifice that he made on the cross. We love you, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.